Hollywood cold. I'm with Marla G, bro. Flying Hollygrove chicks to my Hollywood shows. And I wanna tell you something that you probably should know. This that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flow. And my real friends never hearing from me. Fake friends write the wrong answers on the.
Okay. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 208 of Electrified. I'm your host, Eric Lyons. I apologize for the short absence. I know I missed the conclusion of the Boston-Miami series. It went crazy all the way to game 7. I missed the first two games of the NBA Finals. I'm slacking. I know I am. I know I'm slacking. Y'all don't got to tell me. But I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to get back to the consistency that keeps this thing going. But listen, we are here and we have arrived. You know, we're well into the NBA Finals. All right. We're already in game 3. Game 3 is tonight in Miami. And all I want to say so far is, as a Heat fan, first, as a Heat fan, I'm happy to be here, man. You know, I mean, you think about the way the season went for us. It wasn't the best season. It wasn't like last year when we were the number one seed and all this good stuff. You know, it was not easy, man. You know, we're the 8th seed, had to fight to be the 8th seed, lost one play-in, had to win another play-in just to get in the playoffs. Then you go up against the Bucks, beat the Bucks, beat the Knicks, and then you have a absolute insane series where you go up 3-0 against the Boston Celtics. You lose 3 straight, and then you have to get into a game 7 in Boston. And what do? You blow the Boston Celtics out and you move on to the NBA Finals. Congratulations to the Miami Heat for this probably the most unlikely and one of the greatest final runs ever. I mean, it's the 8th seed, and they're going up against the best team in the world right now in the, you know, Denver Nuggets. And they're giving them all they can handle right now. So I want to go back and, you know, recap the first two games, and then let's talk about game 3. We're going to talk about, you know, the state of boxing, some things that's going on in the world of boxing. And I also want to talk about gambling in sports, because another player just got popped for gambling on games, and not only on his own team's games, but inside the team facilities. I mean, it, you know, people are dumb, right? People are very dumb. People are very dumb. But I didn't think you could be that dumb. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't think you could be that dumb. All right. So let's get started. Let's start off with the Miami Heat. So this and the Denver Nuggets. So the series right now is 1-1, and the Miami Heat are home tonight against the Denver Nuggets. Let's go back to game 1. Now, game 1 was all Denver Nuggets, right? It's all Denver Nuggets for the most part. But in game 1, we saw a Miami Heat team that shot horrible. Like, horribly. Horribly. Everybody was shooting off. Everybody had a bad night in Miami, for Miami. You look at Max Strus, 0-10. 0-10. And 0-9-3. Caleb Martin, 1-7. 1-2 from 3. Duncan Robinson, 1-6. 1-5-3. Kyle Lowry, 4-8, 3-6-3. But then you look at a Bam Adebayo, who was 13-25, 26 points. Gabe Vincent, 7-14, 5-10, 3-pointers, 19 points. Only, what we had, 1, 2, 3. Jimmy had, what, 6-14, he only had 13 points. You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players, 3 of your starters, 2 of your bench players. You had Highsmith, who had 18 points. Only 5 players in double figures. Only 3 starters in double figures. Caleb Martin, 3 points. Strews, zero. You're not going to win a ball game like that. You're not going to win a ball game like that. You can't do it. You can't do it. Then you look at the other side of that. Aaron Gordon, 16 points. Michael Porter Jr., 14 points. Jokic, 27 points. Murray, 26 points. The only starter who didn't get double digits for the Denver Nuggets that night was KCP. But you look at the shoot numbers for MPJ from three, two of 11 from three. They couldn't shoot threes that night. They couldn't shoot threes. They had a lot of free throws, though. Jokic had 10 of 12 at the free throw line. Got to the line a lot. But the key, the things that happened in that game, we want to get down to it. Miami couldn't shoot. Miami couldn't shoot. They couldn't hit a bucket. Miami could not hit a bucket. They shot themselves out of that game early. They couldn't make a three. Jimmy was off. It was a bad night for Miami. It was a horrible night for Miami. Right? Horrible night. As a team, they shot 33.3% from three. 40% as a team field goal wise. But then you look at Denver, who shot 50.6% as a team. And they got 16 of 20 free throws compared to Miami's 2 of 2. Miami only shot 2 free throws in that game one. Big disparities, big discrepancies here between each team. But the most that, you know, the most thing that stood out to me was Jokic, the Joker, and his passing ability. I know this has been a thing all week. You know, Spo has addressed it. It's like, oh, you can't just be like, oh yeah, we're gonna make him score. But honestly though, be realistic here. That has to be your game plan in a sense. That has to be what you want to happen, right? I know Jokic, he can score, obviously. That's dangerous as well. But his passing is what really scares me. I said this going into the series. I said, fam, his passing is way more lethal than his scoring. It is. You look at Jamal Murray, who has also been having a hell of a playoff run. Those two together, that's who you want to beat you. That's who you want to beat you. I want Jokic and Murray to beat us. Make them score. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. You want to put the pressure on them. You want to take guys like Aaron Gordon out of the game. You want to take guys like Michael Porter Jr. out of the game. Bruce Brown. You don't want them hot. Because that's what happened game one. First half of the game, Jokic just kept feeding Aaron Gordon. Because Aaron Gordon was doing whatever the hell he wanted. That's all he did. He had 14 assists. He didn't have to do much. He said, here you go. Oh, y'all open? Here you go. Are they sending a double team at me? Here you go. Somebody's going to get open. Somebody is going to get open. And that's what happened game one. They beat the hell out of the Heat. But the thing is, what made me a Heat fan be like, I don't know. This might not be as bad of a series as people are going to think it be. Because one, they only lost by 11. Denver only scored 104 points. And if Max Strus hit half of the threes he missed, Miami would have won the game. Like, it was a winnable game for Miami. Honestly, truly, it was a winnable game for Miami. It didn't have to go that way. But they were just off that night. They were off. And Jokic, his facilitating and his ability to get through the free throw line is what really killed Miami in game one. So you look at game two, which was like, I wouldn't say polar opposite to an extent, because it was still a good game. Game one was still a very good game. Game two was still a very good game, right? But you look and you see the first thing you're going to see is Jokic's assist numbers way down. Way down. There wasn't 14 assists for Jokic in game two. Was not 14 assists. You know how many assists he had in game two? Somebody tell me. How many assists did Jokic have in game two? He had... Give me one moment. One second. He had 4 assists. Only 4. 4 assists compared to 14 in game 1. You know what else was different in game 2? Michael Porter Jr. had 5 points. Aaron Gordon only had 12 points. KCP only had 6 points. Only other player in double figures for Denver, Bruce Brown, he had 11 points. Jokic had 41. Jamal Murray had 18. What's the difference here, people? Jokic had a 40 ball, and they still lost. 40 ball. He exploded in the third quarter. He had 18 in the third. Exploded. Right? As a team, they shot 52%. 39.3 from 3. Compare that to Miami. You go night and day with Miami. Night and day. You go from nobody can make a bucket to everybody making a bucket. I mean, fam, Strus started the game off going crazy from 3. He only ended up having 14 points. He cooled off. But 4 for 10 from 3 is a much better shot than 0 for 9. All right, I'm not mad at that. Gabe Vincent, 8 of 12, 23 points. Bam Adebayo, another good night for him, 8 of 14, 21 points. Jimmy Butler, 7 of 19, 21 points. A quiet night for Jimmy, but difference maker. Kevin Love, 10 rebounds, 7 defensive rebounds. If Kevin would have made more shots, it would have been a better night for Kev, Big Kev. But 2 of 6 from 3, I ain't mad at that. It was his defense, his size, and just the way he can help control the pace of the game when he was in the game, you know, for the 22 minutes that he played. Then you had Duncan Robinson with a fourth quarter explosion. 4 of 5, 10 points, 2 of 3 from 3. And again, Miami, unlike the first game, when he only shot 2 free throws, they shot 18 free throws this game. 18 to 20. So, you go from barely anybody in double figures for Miami in game 1 to almost all 5 of your starters in double digits in game 2. It's night and day for them. Big difference. Big difference. You know, Miami looked like a completely different team out there. I was proud of the way they played. I was proud of the way they came out. Because you have to come out hot. After a game like you had game 1, you have got to set the tone early. And that's what Miami did. They set the tone early. And I love what Jimmy Butler has been saying about the team and about, you know, the shooters that he plays with and the guys that he plays with. He's such a team-oriented guy, and that's an understatement. But you go back to game 1 and you talk about the struggles that everybody had in game 1, including himself, but more so guys like Max Strus, who helped, you know, will Miami to the finals. You know, we talked about Max Strus and what he did in that Boston series. So for him to start off the finals the way he did, it was like, oh no. Like, is reality setting in? Was it all, you know, a facade? Like, these are things you have to think about. You know, these are things that the media are going to talk about. But, you know, Jimmy Butler, he's not that guy. He's not going to put his team down or put guys down or give up on guys. You know, that's just not his mentality. And I respect that so much, man. You know, I respect that so much. Like, he basically said he's going to keep passing them the ball. You know, these guys are the guys that helped us get here. I'm going to keep giving it to you. And that's what you have to do. You can't take their confidence away. Because this team is really built on confidence. Jimmy calls it the I don't give a damn mentality. They don't give a damn. They don't care. They don't care what you say about them. They don't care what you think about them. They don't care about, oh, this team shouldn't be doing this, or they don't have enough, or all the undrafted players they have. Doesn't matter. They don't give a damn. They're right here. They're going toe-to-toe with the Denver Nuggets right now. And they're in a spot where now they got 2 games at home. And Miami, just like Denver, has been very good at home in his playoffs. I mean, what you're looking at right now is a perfect opportunity for Miami. If Miami can go up 2-1 tonight and somehow carry that over to Friday and go up 3-1 on Denver, I don't know. I think it'll be a different feeling than being 3-0 on Boston, because I really just don't think they expected to be up 3-0 on Boston. I really think they were like, well, how the hell do we close this out? And it was hard for them to close. And it was like Boston, they weren't going to lay down, right? They weren't going to lay down. I didn't expect that. I expected a dog fight in that series, and that's what we ended up getting. But for this, I feel like that series prepared them for this one. And you look at the Nuggets. I know the Nuggets are great. I know they're good. You play who you play. But the Nuggets haven't faced any adversity all playoffs. They've just been running through teams, especially at home. That was their first home loss since March. They've been running through teams. Then you get a 10-day layoff, essentially. You basically had like a round bye. Like, and also going into the series, I was talking to one of my coworkers. I'm like, bro, I know it's two different sports, but when you look at football and you look at how the number one seed will get the first round bye, and, you know, sometimes a wild card team will come in there and punch that team in the mouth, right? I'm looking at, you know, because they have been playing for however many weeks straight, and then they have to go to a playoff game, a wild card game, and they win that wild card game, and now they're coming up to you, and they're hot. Meanwhile, maybe y'all were so good that y'all rested players in week 18, and then you got the first round bye, and now y'all was just chilling for 2 weeks, and now y'all got to get up for a game emotionally, physically, when you're dealing with a team that's hot as hell. So you look at the way Miami got to the finals and the way Denver got to the finals. Denver was chilling. They swept the Lakers. They handled their business. They did what they had to do. Got the Lakers out of there. All right, we're going to go chill and wait for this series to be over. Well, that series ended up taking longer than we expected. It went all seven. And Miami didn't get a break. They barely got a break. They had to go right to it. Right back to work. All right. Their body's still warmed up. Coming fresh off this crazy series. A very adverse series. I mean, game six. Jesus, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, they're coming in. And they have... It's just different. I just think it's a different energy when you're coming right off a series and you're going rolling into the finals rather than you've just been sitting at home. I'm not saying they've been chilling, but they've been chilling, man. They haven't been playing any games. They've been watching, you know, waiting. And when you play the waiting game and you're waiting for your opponent to come in, it's like, well, damn, you know, we ain't had to do nothing. Now here they come. And they're on 10,000, and now we got to work our way up. You know, we got to get ourselves on their level, in a sense, because we got to wake back up. They've been up. Now we got to wake up, right? They come out game one. Denver was up for game one. They were up for game two, but they just got outplayed a little bit, right? The point I'm trying to make here, ladies and gentlemen, is I just think that the team who has been playing may fare a little better than a team who just had a 10-day layoff, right? So tonight, Miami can go up 2-1. I think that'll be a big deal for them. I think that'll be huge. That'll be huge. Because you already did the first thing you had to do. You stole home court. That was goal number one. Still home court. You got to win one of the first two on the road. Didn't win the first one like you had been, but okay, cool. You get bounced back, got the second one. Now you're at the crib. At the crib. If you can win the next two, oh my goodness, you're in good shape. You'll have them on the ropes. And I already said from the jump, I said Miami in six. I think Miami will win tonight. I think they'll win Friday night, but I think they'll drop the game in Denver, come back home game six, and close it out. That's my prediction. And that was my prediction before the series started. Miami in six, man. I just really think that I know we talked that Team of Destiny stuff, but man, look at the run Miami has been on. This is not a normal run, man. It's not a normal run. This is a run that it looks destined. It looks like, yo, they're supposed to win it all. I know Joker and Mary are dogs. I know this Denver team has been the best in the West and the best in the league. But fam, they have not faced any adversity. Miami has dealt with it all. Injuries. I mean, the player. And then just exercising that Milwaukee demon. You know, getting the Knicks out of there. And then exercising that Boston demon from last year. That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. In each series, you know, nobody picked Miami to win any of these series. Didn't even pick us to win, beat the Knicks. Nobody expected the Miami to beat the Celtics. Nobody picked the Miami except for me. I've been picking Miami every series, obviously. But, yeah, man, I said Miami in six from the jump. Miami in six. That's how I see it go. That's how I see it going. All right, so let's move from the NFL to, from the NBA to the NFL. Now, I know we all love to gamble on sports now, okay? But I have to read you this article from ESPN, all right? This comes from Stephen Holder and David Purdom. All right, this comes out of Indianapolis. The NFL is investigating Indianapolis Colts cornerback and kick returner Isaiah Rodgers for possible violations of the league's gambling policy. The team acknowledged the inquiry Monday, saying in a statement without naming Rodgers, "We are aware of the NFL's investigation and will have no further comment at this time." Rodgers then addressed the situation in a tweet Monday night, saying that he wants to take full responsibility for his actions. I have made mistakes, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to repair the situation. Rodgers wrote, "The last thing I ever wanted to do was to be a distraction to the Colts organization, my coaches, and my teammates. I've let people down that I care about. I made an error in judgment, and I'm going to work hard to make sure that those mistakes are rectified through this process. It's an honor to play in the NFL, and I've never taken that lightly. I'm very sorry for all of this." Rodgers, a sixth-round pick, is entering the final year of his four-year, $3.4 million contract. The sportsbook account was opened under the name of an associate of Rodgers, Associates said. Approximately 100 bets were placed on the account over an undisclosed amount of time, including on Colts games, the sources said. Most of the bets were in the $25 to $50 range. All right, so at least, you know, he's betting wisely. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm an NFL. I got a couple millions. I'm still bet like the regular 9-to-5, man. I can respect that. Although there was at least one low four-figure bet. Never mind. Damn it. Isaiah, damn it, you were doing good. Damn. Rodgers started 9 games in 2022 and was seen as a likely starter this season following the trade of Stephon Gilmore to the Dallas Cowboys. Damn, I forgot that happened. If Rodgers is suspended, it could press rookie cornerback Julius Brents, a second-round pick in April, into action. The news comes after a report by SportsHandle.com which cited an investigation into a Colts player's persuasive betting, including wagers placed on his own team. The player was not named in the report, nor did officials reveal his identity. An NFL spokesperson, when asked by ESPN to comment on the report, said he had no comment. This is bad, man. When you think about last year, when former Falcons receiver Calvin Ridley was suspended, and he was suspended the entire 2022 season for betting over a 5-game stretch when he wasn't even on the team. Right? He was away from the team, just making some bets, wasn't even betting on the games. He was just making bets. Right? Now, the league has decided to embrace sports betting. We see the commercials throughout the games. When we watch the games, we see the FanDuel commercials. We know the partnerships with like BetMGM. We see it. All of them, right? FanDuel, BetMGM, DraftKings, stuff like that. The league still explicitly prohibits players from betting on NFL games. Players are also prohibited from placing bets while at NFL facilities. I just, here's my thing. At the end of the day, you know the rules. You know the league is not a fan of the gambling. We know that. We've seen it. Calvin Ridley was made an example of. But this is worse. This is worse. Because you can't, fam, on, I almost said school property, on the campus, on facility property, you're going to gamble at work? You can't be any dumber than that. You can't. You can't be any dumber than that. I just don't understand how, because you're not going to sit and tell me that everybody's not doing this. You can't. I know there are more players than Calvin Ridley and Isaiah Rodgers that are goddamn betting on games. I'm not saying that they're gambling on themselves or gambling, you know, point shaving or cheating or anything like that. I would hope not. But I know these guys are, you know, they might go put up a little parlay in. But there just has got to be a way, a better way to do this. Like, yeah, let me put this in my cousin's name and, you know, send him the money when it's time for me to go make a parlay. I don't know. I just don't know. But, you know, you look at this and it you have to bring up the question, is sports, you know, legalized sports betting, is it ruining sports? I think Kyrie has spoken on this before, but is it ruining sports though? Because from a fan, let's talk about it first from a player's perspective. From a player's perspective, you have millions of people expecting and needing you to get this certain amount of yards or score this many amount of points or do this or do that, do that. All right. If you don't pay attention to social media, you don't care about none of this stuff, fine. You don't care about that. That doesn't concern you. But if you're an athlete who immediately checks their phones after games and now your comments are, damn, you messed up my parlay. Damn, I needed 5 more yards. Damn, I needed 2 more yards. Damn, all you had to do was get a touchdown today. Oh my God, how'd you drop that ball? I was 1 yardage away from a parlay. Like, that type of stuff. Or you're looking at the BR betting pages and you're seeing, oh, I just won this guy this money. Oh, I just lost this guy this money. Damn. Like, I don't know. I don't know what type of extra pressure that would put on you. Or what that would go through in your, how that would process in your brain. But I guess also, as somebody who is worth millions of dollars, you have bigger problems than, Johnny in Michigan, who works at UPS, just lost out on $500,000 because I dropped the ball. Like, I just really think that as an athlete, you would have much bigger problems to deal with. So, I don't know. I can't speak for these guys, but I don't think they care about our parlays. A lot of them will tell us they don't care about our parlays. They don't. If they don't care about our fantasy teams, I know damn well they don't care about our parlays. But I'm sorry about that. Y'all need to care about our fantasy teams, though. Don't be disrespectful. Yeah, I don't care if you don't care about my parlay. That's fine. You know, that's my fault. You know, I'm gambling. I shouldn't be doing that anyway. But my fantasy team, don't play with that. That's my legacy. Yeah, right? That's my pride. That's everything I work for. All right? I could give a damn about my $50 parlay. But what we're not going to do is act like my fantasy team is not important, because it is. Okay? Now, from a fan perspective, I think, as I watch the games now, like, I had a parlay for game 6 of Boston and Miami. And I had Caleb Martin, 12-plus points, Jimmy Butler, 20-plus points, Bam Adebayo, 5-plus rebounds, and a Miami Heat win. Jimmy didn't score that many points until the fourth quarter, the very end. Like, his free throws in the fourth quarter put him over 20. We're up by 1 point. It's 3 seconds left on the clock. It was 2.1 seconds first. As Jimmy was shooting his free throw, they put 0.9 on the clock. It's 3 seconds. I said, Jesus Christ. I looked at my mom. I said, Mom, this is going to be the longest 3 seconds of my life. I had 225 in my pocket. 225 is a lot of money to me, okay? 225 in my pocket. It's going to be the biggest bet I hit for, probably. Yeah, definitely going to be my biggest winning. And then I watched Marcus Smart shoot the 3. okay, rimmed out. We're going to the finals. I'm winning money. And Derek White just had to stick his grubby little freaking fingers and tip the ball in. Took the money right out of my pocket. Took it out of my pocket. So, honestly, as the game was progressing, it got to a point where I was like, you know what? I don't even care if I don't win this bet. I just want to win the game. Like, as a fan, I don't care about the bet. I'm going to win the game. But then when the bet was in my hand, when I saw the money, the dollar signs flash in my eyes, started to care about my bet again. And I think as a fan, I can't bet on my own team. Especially not in a situation like that. I can't do it, man. It's too much stress. I can't stress about winning the game and also have to stress about winning a bet. I can't do it. It's too much for my heart. It's too much. I don't have the mental capacity. That's like when guys have 50,000 goddamn fantasy teams. Fam, how are you playing in four different leagues at one time? Like, how can you root for everybody? You have to root for everybody. I've been playing football, fantasy football, for 10 years. It's my 10th season. Every year I have one team. That's all I have the heart for. There's no way. I'm going to sit here and, yeah, I got this league. I got this league and that league. Oh, yeah, that league too. Fam, you're wild. You're wild. You're insane. But as far as the sports gambling goes, you know, I'm going to put me a couple parlays in, right? And I got to root for this team. I got to root for that team. I got to root for this player. I got to root against this player. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. And you think here in Maryland, we've had sports gambling since November. I can count on my hand, one hand, the amount of bets that I've won. Okay? I won out the gate. I won one on BetMGM, one on FanDuel, same bet. It was Michigan over Ohio State money line. I don't think I won again until Jesus. April, when Tank knocked Ryan Garcia out, okay? Then I think I had a parlay in one of those, I think it was game two of the Boston series. So I've won four bets. And they've all they're not big bets. It was like little bets, you know, maybe a $50 win or a $100 win. Like, it was nothing crazy. But then you see people who put down like a dollar and make these insane parlays, and they come out with like 10 grand. Like, fam, where, Lord, I see what you've done for others. You know, like, I see what you have done for others, Lord. But please, that's the type of blessing I need, man. I'm not saying I'm not blessed. I'm just saying, God, I see what is being done. Swing that my way. All I need is one. I swear, man, all I need is one big hit and I'll never gamble again. I swear to God, I will be done with sports gambling. I will be done. I'll be so done. Listen, if I hit for a rack or more, I'm out. I'm out. That's all I need, a rack or more, and I'm out. They'll never see me again. So this football season, my goal is to hit one big one. A rack, meaning $1,000, $1,000 or more. And I'll delete the apps. I'll be done. Because that's all I want, man. All I want. That's all I want. And I want it to be like a small bet, like a $5 bet, $10 bet. And I had the perfect parlay. You know what I mean? Oh my God, $10 to 10 grand. Like something like that, bro. Like, I had a buddy of mine that, you know, had a crazy bet like that. He ended up on a BR betting page. I need that. It's close to home now. I done seen one of the homies do it. Why can't I do it? You understand what I'm saying? But I don't know. I don't know if gambling in sports is truly, you know, ruining the games. Because we've known for, you know, spoken about years worth of, you know, oh, this is rigged type of allegations. Oh, the refs, they're all in on it. Vegas, they're in on it. I don't know, you know. I just really think it's hard. It's hard. Now, when you talk about like boxing, I think it's easier to say that in boxing, right? Because the judges really can they really control that. It's less variables in the sport of boxing. And you know, any combat sport, it's less variables. You got two guys. Either somebody's gonna get knocked out, or we're gonna go to scorecards. We're gonna go to the scorecards and we're gonna make decisions. But then when you talk about basketball, baseball, any other team sport, it's just too many uncontrolled type of things. There's only so much the refs can do. It's only so much there can be done for an outcome to be predetermined in a team sport like by football or basketball. I don't know. It's just too much, man. It's easier in combat sports. It's easier. So when they be like, oh, that fight was rigged, you might be right. You might be right. You understand what I'm saying? You may be right because of the not only just because of the gambling aspect, but you know, the other boxing politics. We know we had this conversation a few times out of the year. Right? But might as well go ahead and make that transition. Let's go ahead and get to the state of boxing address. Let's start off with Oscar De La Hoya and Ryan Garcia. Because this is interesting to me, man. It's interesting to me. Because we saw this movie before. Literally saw this movie before. When Canelo and De La Hoya had their split, Ryan Garcia decided to stand on the side of Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy. Now, he was much younger. 5 years ago, he was much younger. Didn't know much. You know, all he had was the team loyalty, right? But when you grow and you put more time into this business, because that's what boxing is, at the end of the day, it is a business and it's a dirty one. You see things. You see things a little clearer. You see things from a different perspective, and then you have to experience it. You have to go through it. Gotta go through it. And Ryan Garcia, he hadn't been through it yet. He hadn't seen it. He's seen it, but he hadn't experienced it yet. So now, him and De La Hoya are going at it, right? They're going at it. There's a problem they had, you know. They've had a back and forth, and it, of course, it happened on social media. Here's where these things are getting nasty. Let's start off with the post fight thing after the Tank fight. So Ryan Garcia was pissed off because Oscar De La Hoya and them, they weren't at this post fight conference after he lost the Tank. It was really just him, right? So he felt the way about that. He like, oh, y'all not gonna be here when I lose, but y'all would have been here if I won. Y'all been riding my coattails this whole time. I finally lose, and now y'all nowhere to be found. So Oscar De La Hoya said, "What the f at Ryan Garcia? It's been almost 2 months, and you're still crying about the post presser. The blame for your loss is on you and your quote unquote advisor Lupe. He is the only one who pushed you to accept that insane rehydration clause, and that is the reason you lost. Man up, own that." Ryan Garcia responds, "Okay, buddy, you got it all figured out. Tired of you disrespecting my whole career, and you think none of it matters. Loyalty and common sense is lost in your head. Stop treating people that way, and they will just accept it, and think they will just accept it." Ryan Garcia, De La Hoya responds, "Also, you keep saying Tank's team offer more support for you, blah, blah, blah. Bro, they set you up to lose with that rehydration clause. And most importantly, Al Heyman didn't even show up the entire week. Actually, he never shows up. How's that for your, quotes, support? Hella question marks." Ryan Garcia said, "You know what? I'm about to fight this guy. And you go out, you go act buddy-buddy with him. You don't care about your fighters. Really tired of this fake act. Stop the cap, be real for once, man. I can respect you more if you just told me the truth. You're in it for the cash, no love lost. All right. But we also need to address the upset reaction that Ryan Garcia had when De La Hoya, you know, basically saying that he basically confirmed that Ryan Garcia would be, you know, trying to fight Manny Pacquiao next. I remember 2 years ago, remember that was like a poster for it and everything. And I know I'm not crazy. I remember seeing this. Ryan Garcia had posted it on his Instagram and everything. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fight Manny Pacquiao. And this is going to be a thing. And it never happened. It never happened. So now, again, last week, Garcia named his three people that he wants to fight. Rolly, Isaac Cruz, and Teofimo Lopez. Oscar De La Hoya told reporters he was working on a Manny Pacquiao fight. Ryan Garcia said, this isn't happening. I said what I wanted. It's frustrating. I'm tired of this, said Garcia directly to a report from De La Hoya. If y'all go back to just a couple years ago when that DAZN and Golden Boy situation fell apart with Canelo, it was almost, if not the exact same thing we're watching play out right now. You got a promoter in Oscar De La Hoya who is just doing the exact opposite of everything that the fighter wants, that the star wants, that the cash cow wants. Canelo Alvarez wanted to fight for belts. That's all he wants to do. He wants to fight for belts. He wanted to become undisputed at 168. He did that. That would not have happened if he stayed at Golden Boy. They wanted him to fight this guy. Oh, maybe you should go fight a UFC opponent. Maybe we should do it. It was getting nasty. It was getting nasty. So Canelo got the hell away from them. He sued. Got the hell away from them. And it's been up ever since for him. So now you got Ryan Garcia, who has given you his hit list, given you the names of the guys that he wants to fight. And y'all talking about some old ass Manny Pacquiao. What are we doing? What are we doing? He gave y'all three good fights. And this is what y'all want to do. So, you know, Ryan Garcia actually, you know, he just changed his team up. He's with Derek James now, who trains with Errol Spence. So that's going to be a good thing for him. Because, you know, Ryan Garcia, he took a big L against Tank, but I don't think that was the end of Ryan Garcia. I still think he has a lot to learn. I don't think he's a bad fighter. I just think that he needs better people around him and a better corner. But something that, I don't know, and his chin is, he just got to protect that chin too. But I think he'll bounce back, especially if he moves up in weight. But you just, you look at it again, man. It's just like these promoters are something else. And you look at Oscar De La Hoya. I mean, outside of Ryan Garcia, it's getting pretty thin over there, Golden Boy, man. As far as stars are concerned, and guys that you can turn into stars. It's getting pretty thin over there, you know? Ain't going to take long for it just to be Oscar De La Hoya in his Coke Mountains. And that's going to be about it, man. Ain't going to be nobody left. Because you keep treating your fighters like this. You keep treating them like second-rate citizens. They ain't going to keep going for that, man. You're not in the ring no more. You know, you're not taking these ass whoopings, fam. You're not training. You're not putting this work in. You're not putting your body and your mind on the line every day. We are. So we want, not only do we want the fights that we want the money as well, but we want the fights we want. I want to fight this guy. I want to fight this guy then. In this venue, at this, on this date. Like, I don't want to fight who you want me to fight. You understand what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you just a promoter, man. Go make me some money, right? But I mean, I hate to be the guy to be like, I told you so, Ryan, but I told you so, man. I told you, man. I told you. You know, I gotta go back and listen to that Canelo episode with De La Hoya and see if I name drop Ryan Garcia in there somewhere. That was like almost 5 years ago. Damn, doing this for a while. But we also have Spence, Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford for all four 147-pound welterweight belts, including also a fifth, including the vacant Ring magazine title at 147. It's all going down live July 29th on Showtime pay-per-view. That'll be the night after I go see Drake in 21. So it's going to be a hell of a weekend leading into my birthday week. Love that for me. But yeah, it's official, man. Like, it's officially official. Signed, sealed, and delivered. It don't get more official than that. And, you know, I told you guys this was one of the fights that I felt needed to happen this year. And another fight that I wasn't going to believe until I saw them in the ring. So I'm excited for this one. This is big. I can't wait to see what the rest of the card looks like. This is a fight that I will be spending money on. So I'm excited. Then we also have David Benavidez and his people sent over a contract to Canelo and his people, because Dimitri Bivol and his people said, yo, we don't want that rematch. We're good. So let's hope that we can get Canelo and David Benavidez in a ring together in September. I think that would be a great fight at 168. But yeah, you know. And then I don't even want to talk about Tank, man. It's just like, fam, you get 3 months of home detention. Stay home. You can't even do that. So now you gotta go sit in a cell for 2 months, man. I don't know. Hopefully, you know, this will be a learning experience for him. But I don't know, fam. It's like, you got to get it together at some point. You got to. You don't have a choice. I think that's all I have for you guys today. I'll be back in here sometime this week. Definitely will be back in here sometime this week. I'll probably say Saturday. I'll be back here Saturday afternoon to get us ready for game 4 of the finals. So, yeah, I'll be back Saturday afternoon. But thank you guys for listening, man. Thank you guys for bearing with me in my little short absences, man. I'm going to make sure the absences stop so I can get back on track and get back on course and all the stuff that I got set out for this year, man. But thank you guys for listening once again. Make sure you go listen to last episode, you know, enjoy this episode as well. Share, retweet, all that good stuff. But, yeah, man, that's all I got for you guys today. And for the 208th time, I'm Eric Lyons, and you have just been electrified.
All out when it's by that bread and butter. The kill for clout, I put that on my dead brother, yo. He talk so much, I showed him I'm a real hunter. Won't say it, but he know I still got real cutters, yo. Yeah, I'm right back and I lost mad commas. I had been down bad inside a dog tunnel, yo. Forgot them boys, I found out who my real partners. And who was only with me cause I had dollars. Never cross nobody, always stay silent. Kept it real with player, never lied and always stay honest. Love my bro so much, I never change on him. I'm the one to go and do the work, bring you the damn profits. Hustled on my own, I always didn't know how to sell products.